Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy.
All right. Well, I can tell you this. Somebody needs this message tonight, okay? Because I done been through hell and back this week. And you know what? As I was preparing this, I was like, ooh, this is for me right now. Maybe I just need to preach this to myself, right? I'm like, I don't care if I preach tomorrow night. This did something for me. But I really believe this is for all of us tonight. And I'm excited for what God's going to deliver into your spirit. I'm just going to pray. We're going to jump in. So, Lord, just thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you, Lord. I ask for just hearts to be open to receive exactly the prophetic word that you want to deliver tonight. I thank you, Lord, for just all of the ways that you are depositing fresh revelation and doing new things in each of us. And so tonight, we just thank you for this word. We open up our hearts to receive and our ears to hear. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Pastor Brenna had called me yesterday. She's like, I can come. I can preach. And I'm like, no, I need to make it through this situation, whether it's vomit or diarrhea or whatever come my way. I'm making it through this situation. I'm going to preach this message tomorrow night in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I'm not getting sick. Literally, I pulled this message together in like the last 24 hours. So it is the grace of God. And it came so easy. So I know, like I said, that it's for us tonight. But the title of my message tonight is Confidence in Crisis. Confidence in Crisis. And it's kind of a play on words or a dual meaning title because I believe that all of us can find ourselves struggling with confidence in a crisis, right? I don't care if you are as saved as Billy Graham, right? We say that around here. When you're in a crisis, you're gonna feel your confidence shake a little bit. You know, I was there on Monday. I mean, you guys know my daughter. She is a fireball. The girl does not stop. She's 100. We call her turbo. She's 100, 0 to 100, and then she's, you know, crashes for the day. But this virus that's going around, man, she just had no energy, and she was lethargic and could barely talk. And I'm, you know, I'm over here like, God, like, you know, is this something else, you know? And you start, your mind can go, and you do not want to go on Google and begin to search symptoms, which we've learned. WebMD is not your friend. But I had this moment where I was like, this crisis is going on. And I'm like, you know, God, I know you're good. And I know this is going around. And I'm confident that it's this. But you still feel a little shaken. And so all of us can struggle with that. All of us can be shaken in our confidence when we're in a crisis. But I also believe that there are many whose confidence is in crisis. Whose confidence is in crisis. You know, today's society, insecurity is an epidemic. And insecurity used to be my biggest struggle. I used to be so, so insecure, so afraid. I remember the first time Pastor Verna was like, I want you to preach. And I was like, you're psycho. Like, I am not called to preach. I'm not called, you know, I'm just going to stand in the corner. And I had, actually, it was so funny. 18-year-old Simone thought I was going to, like, marry a pastor and be a pastor's wife and just sit, like, on a pew. And I married an entrepreneur, and I'm the pastor. So it's just really funny how God works. But insecurity, it's an epidemic. And a lot of people live fearful, timid lives, confident, you know, lacking confidence and feeling bad about themselves. And I want you to know tonight that God wants us to be confident. He wants us to be confident. He wants us to be bold. He wants us to be fearless. He wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be whole, fully able to pursue our destiny. And he wants us to feel good about ourselves and our relationship with him. Now, confidence can get a bad rap because we can look at confidence and mistake it for pride. And don't get me wrong, that if your confidence is rooted in the wrong source, a lot of times it can be pride. And we'll talk more about that tonight. But I believe as Christians that we should be the most confident people in the world. That when we walk into any scenario, any situation, we should be the most confident people in the room. I actually believe we would have way more influence on the earth if we stewarded our confidence. I really believe that. I believe the best life is the confident life. And I'm not talking about faking it till you make it. I'm talking about core true confidence. if you think about it, going through life, never feeling good enough, comparing and competing with other people, having analysis paralysis, afraid to take a step and move forward, that sucks. That is not the best life. By the time you walk out of here tonight, you're going to be like, I am confident. I want to be the most confident. Because I believe that lack of confidence robs us from the best life that God desires us to have. And it handicaps our ability to dream. You know, last week, Pastor Verna, she talked about the four-step process to desire. And super impactful. I encourage you to go back and listen to it. And, you know, confidence and desire, they really go hand in hand. Confidence is essential to enjoying your life. Maybe you're new to Christianity and you think you're supposed to just be miserable in your Christianity, but you actually are called to enjoy your Christian life. Go figure. Confidence is essential. It's essential to enjoying our life and becoming everything that God created us to be. It's confidence that gives us the drive to get up in the morning and face life and the challenges that are presented to us. And we need to hold on to our confidence because confidence is tied to receiving what God promised. Now, I got this revelation this week, and I've never had it framed like this before. And as I was studying, and this is like one of those wisdom nuggets that's just never, I'm never gonna forget it, you know? I just felt like was deposited for this time right now. And in Hebrews 10:35 through 36, the writer says this, "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward." And I was meditating on that. Do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. I wonder what kinds of rewards I have missed out on because I decided to throw away my confidence. Think about that. The reward of watching somebody you invite to church encounter God because you had the confidence to invite them. The reward of seeing that business thrive that you had the confidence to finally start. The reward of waking up with peace because you had the confidence to stand up for yourself. Somebody give me an amen on that one, right? The reward, right? The reward. With confidence comes reward. No confidence, no reward. And we're often waiting for the reward when God's saying, I just need you to activate confidence. I think back to when I had made the decision to record my album, which it's been now, 7 years, and it's time. God's been convicting me. It's time to start writing again. But I remember when I recorded that and I had the confidence to put out a GoFundMe and raise the money to do it. And you know, it was just like, boom, boom, boom. We recorded the album. And then I got the call from Ken, who wanted me to come in. Some of you guys don't know that story, but Ken Shamrock had me come and do his walkout song twice. And it was on Spike TV, and it was millions and millions of people saw it. And it was incredible, this huge, like, moment in my life. I will always remind Cash of how cool I am by that one moment. I will be like, yes, okay, Beyonce might have been on that stage shaking her thing for I don't know who and what God, but we represented Jesus up there, okay, in that arena, all right? But what I'm getting at is that if I didn't have the confidence to walk through the doors of something that I definitely didn't feel prepared for, I didn't feel prepared to go record an album where Jesus culture recorded. I didn't feel prepared to go and sing on a stage in front of millions of people, but God began to open these doors, and it was like, are you going to have the confidence or not? And if I didn't have the confidence to go and do that, I would not have the reward of my incredible husband and my incredible child, because it was through that experience and doing that that led to, you know, me meeting my husband. You never know the reward that's going to come because you choose to activate your confidence. With confidence comes reward. You know the enemy can't touch your calling? He can't touch it. It's cemented. It's secure. It is yours for the taking. He cannot touch your calling. And he knows that. So what he does is he comes for your confidence. If he can't get your calling, he'll come for your confidence. Imagine what your life would look like if you actually activated confidence. What kind of decisions would you make? What kind of person would you be? What kind of life would you live if you lived every day truly confident? And I'm challenging myself in that right now because I know there are big things in me that I have yet to see that I know are on the other side of my confidence being activated to go after them. Like I said, confidence, it's activated, it's active. And the more we operate in it, the more we build it up. To activate is to switch on, to start up, to operate. And Sean and I, we recently had we had this conversation. We talk about confidence a lot on our podcast and just in general. Sarah's in our house weekly, and we're constantly talking about confidence. And we talked about it in a recent episode. We were talking about it in the context of a relationship, and it was funny because I had come in and I was like, okay, we're gonna do this episode, and we're gonna talk about the things that a guy finds attractive and the things that a girl finds attractive. We were talking about it in a dating context, and I was like, confidence. Like, you got to be confident. And Sean is my challenger. If you've never had a conversation with him, I love him, but he drives me insane because he's constantly challenging everything to the point where I'm just like, can you just agree with me? But I love it. I love that he challenges everything. But he was like, actually, no. He's like, not everybody's going to be attracted to confidence. And he was talking about how basically, if you're not a confident person, if you're insecure, you're not going to be attracted to confidence. You're going to think that person is either arrogant or, he was like, a guy who's insecure isn't going to be attracted to a confident woman because he's going to be afraid that she's going to outshine him. And I want to encourage you tonight, we've got to be careful we've got to be careful who and what we judge. Because if we're insecure and we're looking at somebody that really is confident, truly confident, we could label them as just being arrogant or prideful. We don't know their heart. The Bible says that we judge a tree by its fruit, right? Not the shininess of its leaves. It's the fruit. So we've got to be careful not to judge, because in us there could be a root of insecurity and we're judging somebody else. And so all that to say, too, we shouldn't turn off our confidence because somebody else might not like it or somebody else might not be attracted to it. Pastor Verna's in this relationship series on Sundays, and it's very easy to conform and cast off your confidence for approval, for people-pleasing, for all these different things. But it's very clear in the Word that we're not to throw away our confidence, because with it comes great reward. So I want to talk about confidence, the difference between self-confidence and God-confidence. In Philippians 3:3, he says that those who are born again place no confidence in what we have or who we are in the flesh. See, most people feel driven to prove their value through hard work and maintaining a certain appearance. So that's self-confidence, right? Self-confidence is rooted in pride, and it really just leads to frustration and dissatisfaction. It's all about how I'm going to do it. It's all about how I'm going to make it happen. It's I, right? God confidence, and some people think, okay, well, God confidence is God, you're going to make this happen. But really what God confidence is it's putting our faith in God and trusting that he has equipped us to do what we need to do with our life. It's about trusting that what he's put inside of us, right? Sometimes we can be waiting back. I'm confident. I'm so confident. And we're like so confident that we take no action because we're not really confident. We're confident. We're saying we're confident, but we're not actually confident, because if we're confident, then we'll be active. So it's twofold. It's being confident that God is who he says he is, but it's being confident that what he's put in me is enough. What he's put in me is enough. Because on my own, what I possess isn't enough, right? But what he's deposited in me is enough. In my flesh, I'm not enough. But what he's deposited in me as a born-again believer is enough. As a child of the kingdom. So it's, like I said, it's God confidence is putting your faith in God and trusting that he's equipped us to do what we need to do in life. And I believe God is waiting for us, you guys, to boldly step out and ask him for things that go beyond what we can ever do in our own strength or what we even think is possible. I actually believe the things that he calls us to have confidence for are way beyond us and way bigger than us, and we have no idea how it's going to happen. But that's where it requires active confidence. I love Joyce Meyer. She says, in Christ, You don't get what you deserve, but you get what Jesus deserves. Confidence empowers our lives. And in 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4, we've got a plan for God confidence. And it says this. It says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Now in this passage, Peter lays out how we can activate God's plan for God confidence. And it's I broke it down into this. Really easy, actionable, easy to remember. Number one, remind yourself daily that His divine power has given you everything you need for a godly life. How do we build God confidence? Remind yourself daily that His divine power has given you everything you need for a godly life. Next, reinforce your knowledge of Him on a regular basis. This is in verse 3. It says, through the knowledge of Him who's called us to His own glory. So reinforcing our knowledge of Him. And then the third one is review God's promises as a habit. It says in verse 4, by which He granted to us His precious and very, very great promises. So reviewing God's promises as a habit. This is how we activate God confidence. God, Your divine nature has given me everything I need. When I feel like I am lacking everything, Your divine nature, Jesus, You have given me Your nature. Therefore, I have everything I need to live this life. Because You're good, and You've given me Your grace, and You've given me Your mercy, right? Reinforcing our knowledge of Him, and then reviewing His promises. You spoke, God, You said that this was going to happen, and You said that this was going to happen. Whatever that is for you, the promises that God's put in your heart. Confidence isn't this puffed up, I'm better than other people kind of attitude. Maybe for some, but you know what? That's really false confidence. That's insecurity masking as pride, masking as, I don't know, some sort of confidence that's not confidence. It's not this puffed up, I'm better than other people kind of attitude. Confidence is, it's settled. You don't have to walk into a room and be like, I'm so confident. I'm just so confident. Do you see how confident I am? I am confident. Confident. Like you get the t-shirt, right? Like it's like printed on there. Confident child of God. Who am I? I'm gonna stop right there before I hate on graphic t-shirts. Anyways. You know, like I get an image of like, you remember when you're in like youth group and they make you wear matching t-shirts when you go to like Great America? Hated matching t-shirts. Anyways, I'm getting off topic here, but you don't have to announce it. Confidence, you don't have to announce confidence. Confidence is announced, right, from your core when you walk into a room. It's announced by your character. It's announced by the way that you greet somebody. It's announced by the way that you carry yourself. And that's built through relationship with God. That's built through trust in God. It's built through understanding our identity in God. It's a settled faith that I am a child of God. I am fully loved. I want you to just feel this right now, how this feels to say this. I'm fully loved. I am fully embraced, elected by God, deserving of the best life, equipped with everything I need to walk out my calling. Ooh, I feel some confidence rising up in here tonight. Doesn't that feel good? See, that's confidence. It's a settling. I'm fully loved. I'm fully embraced. See, when you don't know that you're fully loved by God, maybe you were raised in, you know, legalism or whatever. When Pastor Verna, she's you know, going after sacred cows this year, and it's real good. Come out on a Sunday. But if you don't know that you're fully loved, you're going to constantly be afraid. Constantly afraid you're going to make a mistake. Constantly afraid you're going to disappoint God. Constantly afraid, you know, and that's walking on eggshells your whole life. That's not the best life. This is why I'm telling you tonight that confidence is the secret to the best life. When you fully settle into who you are in God, and it doesn't matter what anybody else does or says or who they are, that is awesome. You go. championing you in all God has called you to do. I love Sarah preached a message a couple months ago. You know, you have grace for your race. I got grace for my race. You have grace for your race, not for anyone else's. And when you can come to a place of being settled in that, there's great reward. Because you're no longer going after all the other promises that God's given other people. You're actually going after your own. When you activate God confidence, like I said, there's going to be people who don't like it, but I can tell you this, the right people will. And it'll bring you before kings. God confidence will make you exceptional. You know that people are looking for individuals who are authentic, who know who they are, and aren't afraid to be everything that God's called them to be. That will set you apart. You know, we were talking about favor and promotion and offering tonight. When you are settled in who you are, you'll walk into a room and you'll shine. Because confidence, it radiates. And like I said, it repels the wrong people and it attracts the right people. It's all about God confidence. Now, I'm going to start to bring this down. You guys know I love a good list. I love a good list to leave you with. So I wanted to leave you with a list tonight, because I believe at this point you're getting the picture of why confidence is key to living God's best life for you. And I want to give you some confidence killers before we end tonight. And what I'm realizing is that confidence is less about what we add and more about what we remove. I'll say that again. It's less about what we add and more about what we remove. It's usually not that people lack It's usually not that we have a lack of confidence. It's that our confidence is being blocked or impeded by inner obstacles. So when we remove the inner obstacles, confidence can be activated. So often we're looking for all these external sources, right? And there's things that will make you feel more confident, that will give you kind of, you know, a boost, kind of like how Rosie brought me coffee tonight, and it's like the nectar of Jesus for this last week that I've been through. Gives me a boost, right? But it's not going to carry me through. So there's things that you can externally do that are going to help you. It feels good to wash your hair and put on a good outfit when you've been sitting with a high bun and it's been greasy for 4 days. And you had your child's everything all over you, right? Makes you feel confident, like, oh, there you are. Hello again, friend. But it's less about what we add, and it's more about, you guys, what we remove. So, confidence killers. I got a list, and I'm just going to give you five. There's more that you can, you know, probably find out there. The first I'm going to give you is comparing yourself. Comparison. We know this. I've preached this before. Comparison is the thief of joy. We all do this. The comparison trap is real. I was literally putting this message together and, like, took a little break, and I went on Instagram, and it was, like, picture popped up as I'm sitting there with my greasy high bun that I haven't washed for 4 days, and I think there was, I don't know, something on my shirt, and this girl's looking all picture perfect, and I was like, nope, got to put it down as I'm literally preaching about confidence and, the comparison trap that kills your confidence. It's real. And like I said, you should know by now, you only have grace for your race. When you learn to embrace the characteristics and abilities that God has given you, you'll begin to really like yourself and enjoy life. We've got to get to the point where we're fully loved, we're fully embraced, right? We let go of comparing ourselves to other people, because that's going to kill your confidence. It's going to impede, right, your ability to have confidence. And I think that one's pretty self-explanatory. The second one, and this one is really big, you guys. It's language. Language as a confidence killer. And this is both verbal and nonverbal. There's something to getting up, right? Moving around. You know, sometimes you just got to have a little dance party in your house when you're starting to feel like the weight of the world on you. And you feel like everything's shutting down, you got to get up and dance. You got to get up and praise. The Bible talks about this, activating, you know, our praise, our worship, using language to activate our faith. Proverbs 11:17 says, your own soul is nourished when you are kind, and it is destroyed when you are cruel. There's so much evidence that language can impact how we feel and behave. Pastor Vern has shown the studies, right, of the, the snowflakes and how they responded, how the water, right, responded to music and language. And we're affected at a cellular level. We're affected at a core level by language, both externally and internally. This is why atmospheres are so important, right? And the internal atmosphere that we've created is so important. If you feed your mind with negative language, don't expect to feel positive and motivated and confident. We've got to build our awareness of what language we're feeding our mind with, what we're feeding our spirit with. Is our language empowering, positive, or is it weak and disempowering? See, when you say, I don't know what to do, how do you feel? I don't know what to do. You feel confused. You feel alone. You feel angry, helpless. You feel frustrated. But when you flip that and you go, I will figure this out. Two ways you can respond to a situation. I don't know what to do. I will figure this out. I will figure this out. That statement feels hopeful. It feels determined. It feels energized, right? Because you can feel, we're going to find a solution to this. God, you and I, we're going to figure this out. I might not know what to do, but you know what to do, and you're going to help me figure out what to do. I'm not going to sit here in this state and just be like, well, I don't know what to do. Because that is so disempowering and kills your confidence like no other. It's the worst, you know, when you feel so good. Have you ever been there where you're having such a good day, and it's like, man, I feel good today. Maybe you got up early, you did your routine, you're like on one, right? And then you get that phone call and it's like Eeyore on the line. And you're like, hey, and they're like, hi. Yeah, I don't know. I guess, I don't know. Maybe it'll work out. I don't know. I don't know what God's doing. Instantly, how do you feel? Right? Like your balloon just like got completely deflated. That language, like I said, it's disempowering. And I'm not making fun of anybody who's in a state like that. We go through seasons. We go through situations, right? But we've got to learn to shake it off. We got to learn to get up out of that mess, to switch off the news and put on something positive, put on something that's going to encourage you, right? That is going to make you feel faith-filled. That's going to make you feel empowered. I know I don't have to hammer down this point, but I want you to understand how important language is and how oblivious we are oftentimes to the language that we're using. Pay attention to the words that you use internally and externally, right? That come out of your mouth and that you just tell yourself in your head. Pay attention to that. When you're getting ready in the morning, when you're about to go in and have a conversation with somebody, what are you telling yourself? What are you feeding yourself? Pay attention and reframe. Pay attention and reframe. The third one is this: seeking constant validation, confidence killer. Oh, my Lord, have I been guilty of this one? All the people pleasers in the room. Yes, seeking constant validation. I used to hate when people are mad at me. I've had to learn people are people. And sometimes people are going to be mad. Sometimes people are going to hate. People are people. Constantly seeking validation will kill your confidence because your confidence and your self-worth doesn't come from other people. It doesn't come from your title. It doesn't come from the way you look or anything you can do. True confidence, like I'm telling you, it comes from discovering your worth and your value in Christ. If you're always outsourcing your emotional struggles to others, you actually deprive yourself of the opportunity to be confident. You're allowing other people to manage your emotions instead of going through whatever the struggle is that you're struggling with, right? Why do I feel not confident about that situation? Okay, what is it that I'm not feeling confident about? And working through that, it's like you doing your kids' homework for them their whole life and they never figure out how to work through a problem. We've got to learn how to work through it without seeking constant validation and come out on the other side of that empowered with confidence because we were able to work through it. We have to ask ourselves, what is my belief system behind that emotion? You have no idea how many times as preachers we walk out of here and I've gotten in the car and I've been like, well, that sucked. I think you were there, Jesus. I'm not quite sure, right? And I'll tell you this. We as preachers have a completely different experience than you guys out there. We are constantly criticizing, right? Every word, everything that comes out of our mouth. And I've just come to the point, me and Pastor Verna, we talk about it often. It's like, you know what? I'm going to get up there. I'm going to deliver the word that God gave me, and then I'm going to go home, and I'm going to kiss my baby, and I'm going to probably eat something sweet, and I'm going to sit, and I'm going to chill, and I'm going to be happy all by myself because I was obedient to God. And you've got to come to that place in your life where it's like, it doesn't matter who validates it. It doesn't matter who thinks it's the greatest thing ever, whatever that thing is for you. You've got to be, and that's how you go from this to this to this, that constant just being satisfied in God. And it feels good. It feels good when someone texts me and they're like, oh, Pastor Simone, that was straight to my core. And I'm like, yes, right? But it's like, you can't live for that. Because the moment you live for man's approval, you begin to die by man's approval. If you live for it, you'll die by it. And you're like a, you know, what is that? That scripture I'm trying to, you're like a wave, right? That ship that's tossed to and fro, just constant, like, up and down, because you're not able to be settled with who you are and walk away and go, you know what? Yeah, I did a good job tonight, because God, your word is always good. Your word is always good, and it's always exactly what I need because it's your word. So there comes a point where you've got to stop seeking constant validations. The next one is measuring your mistakes. Confidence killer. Measuring your mistakes. You know, the enemy loves to do this with us anytime that we're leveling up in God. It's like, oh, remember remember what you were doing last month? Oh, remember what you were doing yesterday? You know what? The past is in the past. His mercies are new every day. Like I said earlier, it doesn't matter what state you come in. He's going to pick you up and love on you and clean you up, and you are his baby. You are daddy's child. Measuring your mistakes will kill your confidence so fast. You can't do anything about what happened yesterday. All you can do is do something with what you have today. And I like to say, instead of measuring your mistakes, you need to measure his mercy. Measure his mercy. Like we said, we sang tonight, you know, I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. We'll never be able to do enough, to sing enough, to earn our salvation, to atone for our sin by being good enough for Jesus. We're never going to be good enough for Jesus. It's his perfection that makes us perfect. So we've got to stop measuring our mistakes, and we've got to measure his mercy. You know, regaining confidence after a mistake can be tough. But redefine the terms. Take the valuable lessons that you've learned and move on from what happened. And get comfortable with saying, that was yesterday. That's not who I am today. That's not my identity. Let it go, right? Just let it go. Last one I'm going to give you tonight, and we're going to land this plane, is feeling like everyone else gets the advantage. Ooh. Confidence killer. Feeling like everyone else gets the advantage. You know, we're human, right? And when you're struggling and you see other people and they're getting blessed up and you're still like, Lord, I've been waiting on this blessing now for 20, you see like wedding after wedding after wedding, and you're just like, when's she coming, Jesus? When's he coming, you know? And it seems like everybody else is getting the advantage, and we can very quickly find ourselves in self-pity, poor me, having ourselves a pity party. I think Elijah did this. He had himself a pity party, and God was like, okay, all right, we're done. Like, we got it, fed him, like, nourished him, and then was like, okay, let's move on from this pit, right? I love that God let him have, like, a little one. You know, we always say, you get one day to be crazy, and then we've got to get going. We're not going to do 3 months of crazy. Self-pity and jealousy can create negative thought patterns that can suppress our self-confidence. And you know, it's so true, you guys. It's so true that you just don't know what's going on behind closed doors with people. We think the grass is greener. And I always say, the grass isn't greener on the other side. It's greener where you water it. It's greener where you choose to water it. Because I guarantee you, those people, and I know, because Sean and I have been brought into a lot of different circles through entrepreneurship and different things. And man, I can tell you what, I know a lot of wealthy people who are miserable with their life, who have no peace when they go to bed at night. And that's not to make ourselves feel better by looking at somebody else, but it's just to say, because we can do that, right? We go on Instagram and it's like, oh, they're having a bad day. And then we feel better about ourselves, which is really twisted, and we shouldn't do that, right? But all that to say, you don't know what's going on behind closed doors with somebody. Everybody's got problems. If you're a person, you're going to have problems. And we've got to stop looking at other people and think, because there's, truth be told, somebody else could be getting something that in this current moment would crush you. And we've got to trust that God's timing is perfect, and He knows when we're ready, and He knows when it's the right opportunity. You know, you could be ready for something and everything around that is about to crash and you don't even know it. And you're chasing after it and you're like, I want this so bad, but is it the right circumstances? Is the timing right? Because if it's not, then it's not going to be right. So we've got to stop, you know, we stop having a pity party because other people seem to be getting an advantage when we're not, because that will kill your confidence. We've got to learn to be grateful for where we're at and what we have and who we are and be settled in that state, because it's out of that reward comes. And what I've learned, you guys, and Sarah, you can come on up. I was thinking about this in the last, I mean, there's been demonic attacks, obviously, the last couple of years with COVID, and there's been so much depression and anxiety and all of these things. And I was thinking about this because, and I could preach a whole nother message off of confidence about, you know, how we get confidence. But I was thinking about why so many people have struggled with anxiety and depression, and it's been a myriad of reasons, but I really believe it's because things haven't been clear. It's been so muddied. It's been so, where are we going? What are we doing? What is the world going to look like in a year? And that's kind of the state. It's just confusion and chaos. Anybody agree? It's kind of been the atmosphere the last year or two. And what I've learned is that when there's no clarity, there's no confidence. Anxiety thrives in chaos. And when we get clear, we get confident. Clear on what's limiting our confidence. Clear on how a confident life would feel and look. Clear on what I'm missing out on if I don't activate confidence. Clear on my position in Christ. There's so many people who've been in church their whole life and they're not clear on their position in Christ. Fully loved, fully embraced, like I said. And maybe you've never received Jesus. And tonight I just invite you. You know, we don't have to wait till the end. If you never received Him, invite Jesus. Just open your heart. Ask Him to be your Lord and Savior right now. You don't need to come to an altar. You can do it right in your living room or wherever you're at. I believe in this room. You know, we're all there. But when we get clear, we get confident. And so I ask you tonight, where do you need clarity? Is it on your identity? Is it on your mistakes? Is it on, where do you need to get clear? Because with clarity will come confidence. And as I said, as Kingdom Kids, we should be the most confident people on the earth. Go and stand to your feet. I hope you got something tonight, because I sure did. I'm going to pray over you tonight. I expect all of you to come in matching t-shirts next Wednesday night that say, "Hello, confidence has entered the room." No, I'm just kidding. Can we get those made, Sarah? absolutely not. Oh, God, the mental picture. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your presence tonight. I just want to pray over you. First off, like I said, you know, if you've never gotten clear on your position in Christ, if you're not saved, or you maybe it's been a long time, I just want you tonight to just open your heart. If you're in that place, and just say, "Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart, to be my Lord and Savior. I thank you for dying for my sins. I believe you did. And tonight I give you my whole heart, my whole life. I thank you for this new life in you, in Jesus' name." And tonight, God, I just thank you for your children that are in this room, that are watching online. And I thank you, God, that you never beat us up, but you call us up. I thank you, Lord, that when we're living less than your best, you remind us what that best is, that you gently call us up into the fullness of everything that you have destined for us as your children. And so tonight, Lord, if there is any one of us, God, that have been struggling with one of those confidence killers tonight, Lord, we just let them go. We let go people-pleasing. We let go comparison. We let go, God, of dwelling on our mistakes. We let go of all of those things tonight, God, and we just get clear on who we are in you. And I ask right now, Lord, just for a settling, for a peace to rest upon your children, God, that in the next few days and in the next week, whether they would even begin to see and be clear, like I said, in where they've been. And God, that they would begin to look ahead to the reward that is on the other side of holding firm to their confidence. I thank you for the opportunities, the open doors that you're bringing to them because they're your kids. And I bless them from this place tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
We'd like to thank you for joining us today. Thanks to those who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that makes this ministry possible. You can click the link below in the description box to give now or visit soulharvestwc.org/podcast for more information. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe. You could also share with your friends. Click the share button, take a screenshot, and also share in your social media stories and tag us at soulharvestwc. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.